Always appreciate your attendance very, very much. Good to get together. Not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship, but to involve ourselves in a time of worship together as a congregation. As Rick said in his scripture reading, the lesson comes from the text that was read to us this morning. We titled it Sudden Storms in Life. There's an added verse that I want to use by way of introduction. In Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 25, it says, "Do not be afraid of sudden fear." Some other translations use the phrase sudden terror or sudden trouble and even sudden storms. Do not be afraid of sudden storms. Neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. I think all of us have experienced unexpected or sudden storms in our life. Various times, various ways. Even we as a congregation experienced it this past weekend. Two of our members were taken to the emergency rooms at the hospital. They're still there. And so all of a sudden, I wasn't sure if one of the song leaders was going to get back or not. So you had a sudden storm this morning. I had to lead the singing too. But we got through it. We landed safely on the other side. You always think about sudden storms in your life. Car breaks down. Oh, no. Unexpectedly, I'm out of time, I'm out of treasure. I don't need this right now. You know, we think about people who've experienced job loss unexpectedly, or a serious illness that we've had recently, or a loss of family member. We've had that happen this past week. Wow. We have phrases for lesser storms in life. You know, I've heard people say, "Oh, man, when it rains, it pours." There's a cloud hanging over my head right now, we sometimes say. Or I've heard people say, I think there's a song, "If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all." Bad luck. Then there's Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will. And then the corollary to that, it goes wrong at the worst possible moment. So the story is in Mark chapter 4, really it's in the entire chapter, in chapter 5 verse 1. It says, "He," meaning Jesus, "again began to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude. So he entered into a ship, sat in the sea. The whole multitude was by the sea on the land." Then in verse 35, that same day, so we have 34 verses of Jesus teaching all that day. And so now, that same day, the evening was come. So he says to them, the evening, "Let's pass over to the other side." Wow. So they sent away the multitude, and they took Jesus as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships, the text says. And then there arose a great storm of wind. Oh, me. Don't need that right now. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Oh, it just got worse. And Jesus is in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And those that are in the boat, they awake him and they say to him, "Master." Well, I'm probably pretty loud. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said to them after that, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" They feared exceedingly. They said to one another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And then, the next chapter, verse 1, they landed on the other side of the sea. So I've listed several things in your notes this morning, but would everyone get an outline of them? Certainly share, okay, if you'd like one. Don't be presumptuous and think you want to follow along with me. But number one, the probability of storms in life. That's a lesson we can get from this. Unexpectedly. So the elements for a storm, I think, were certainly gathering on this occasion. Jesus is no doubt tired from all day preaching and teaching. All the parables that are recorded in those verses leading up to this ride across the sea. You know, and then the disciples and the others, they've listened to Jesus all day. Wow. Some of the parables, they may have even had difficulty understanding. Wow. Can you imagine listening to me all day? Don't answer out loud. I mean, I know you would be tired of listening. I would be tired of preaching. But that's what's happened here. And it's night now, it's nighttime. You know, my eyes get droopy at the day's end. And some of your eyes are already drooping. Not even noon. But just listening to me for the first 4 minutes. But that's what's happening here with Jesus and the disciples. And so here it is, all day teaching and preaching and listening. It's nighttime, and the disciples are probably thinking, oh, let's take a break. We're going to rest for the night. And Jesus says, let's cross over to the other side. Oh, no. Didn't need to hear that. I'm tired. And you want to cross to the other side of the sea? Wow. Anything can go wrong. Right when you don't need any trouble. It happens. And so sure enough, in verse 37, a great storm of wind arose. Waves began to fill the ship. When Matthew records the story, in Matthew 8, verse 24, it says, there's a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the... This storm had hurricane status. The water's filling the ship. So for these disciples and for us, there are going to be times in your life and mine when we experience storms, and I mean great storms. Unexpectedly. The very thing we didn't want to happen happens. Oh, no. No. The big one. So the problem number one when we look at this story, there's the probability of storms. In the life of Jesus and the disciples, those that follow. Number two, there's the presence in the storms of life. And when we're in the midst of a storm, I've heard people even say, "Where's God in all this?" Of course, the answer is He's in the ship with us. Remember that shepherd Psalm 23, verse 4 is very significant, or at least what they all are. But verse 4. Yea, though I go through, and then look at the description, though I go through the valley, the shadow of death, I'll not fear any evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So when we ask, where is Jesus when we have the storms in life? He's right there with us. He hasn't forsaken us. The disciples were learning a lesson that we need to learn too. And that is, we can find ourselves following Jesus and be in the midst of a storm at the very same time. You understand that? We can be followers of Jesus and still be in the midst of a storm. Some people believe that Bible faith or our faith is some kind of insurance against storms. If I follow Jesus, all my troubles will be taken away. If I follow Jesus, there will be no more struggles. That's not the promise of God. The promise is, I will not leave you nor forsake you. The promise is, I will be with you to the end. The promise is, I will be beside you, that I care. That's the promise. The promise is not, I'll take away every hardship or difficulty in your life. So you see, number one, the probability of storms. The biblical message has been very open with us about that. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh, but He's with us in the present, in the midst of the storms. You see, sometimes storms are not punishment for our lack of obedience. Oftentimes, storms are the result of obedience. Jesus said, let's take the boat to the other side of the sea. And the disciples said, let's go. I don't know if they anticipated a storm like that or not. But a storm came. Jesus said it, and they said, I'll go. Here am I. Speak, I'll listen. Command, I'll obey. Let's go. And here comes the storm. In verse 38, Jesus, was in the stern, sleep on the pillow. They woke him, Master, don't you care that we're perishing here? We're in the storm. Where are you? Right here. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. They ask, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? I care. Oh yeah, don't doubt that. You may think that, can't help it, the thought that comes. But you need to know, oh yes, He cares. That's number two. Number three, is that number three? No, now I'm number three, right? Sometimes when I stop and ask, where am I? I've heard people say, you're at the conclusion. Okay. And I go right to the conclusion. Thank you. Number three. I want to skip it. The peace in the storms. Verse 39. He arose and rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there arose a great calm. I put in your notes, on this occasion the storm ceased. But we always want to know, what if the storm doesn't cease? Because some of the struggles we're in don't have a quick fix. Some of the illnesses that come into our lives, there's not a ready cure. There's some things that we just have to live with, that we can't change. And when you heard me say, we can't change the circumstance, we change our attitude. But we can pray persistently and earnestly for something and it doesn't change. Even though we have that plaque on the wall, prayer changes things. But what's going to happen when you pray over and over again and that thing doesn't change? Put another plaque beside it, prayer changes me. Because I may have an illness that can't be cured. I may live in a neighborhood out of which I can't move. Or I may be in a job that I can't transfer or move. Maybe family situations that can't be resolved. What am I going to do? The storm I'm in, I don't see it. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Can't eliminate the tribulations that come when we're in the world. In this story, that present display of power should have taken away all doubt in the minds of the disciples. They're going to be with Jesus for 3 years and they would witness great displays of God's power. When they were followers of Jesus, they were believers because they were taught and they were shown. You see, God often uses storms in our life to show us that we can trust Him. Many storms may come in our life to prove our dependence upon God. Hasn't God brought us safely thus far? When we're in the storm, we may wonder if God's asleep. We may wonder if God is absent or that He doesn't care. That's on us. That's me. That's my problem or difficulty, struggle. But I just need to have that confidence that the way we've been taught, that fundamental, that foundational faith, that says even when I'm going through difficulties or hardships, God's still with me. And He's still by my side. And I'm not going to belly up out of Christianity. I'm not going to forsake assembling. I'm not going to give up on prayer. I'm not going to give up on God simply because there's hardships or difficulties in life. And then when that takes place, as we say, there's a peace that passes understanding, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. And the peace of God shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. There's a peace in the midst of the storm. Number four, purpose of storms. I often wonder, do you think God allowed this storm just so He could calm it? I think Jesus, or at least my estimation, would have used this storm to get their attention or to teach them a lesson. See, we're not short on storms. They're coming. We're either, I'm putting your note, we're either heading into one, or we're in one, or we're emerging out of one. But see, storms will demonstrate in your life and mine the power of God. Storms will provide us opportunity to strengthen our faith. Storms in life hopefully will move us to run to God, just like the disciples did. They cried out, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And then Jesus came to the rescue. See, storms remind us of our own inability. Troubles and trials will tell us that I can't control every situation. Something I just can't do. So what am I going to do? I'm going to put my trust in Him. I'm going to run to God. Run to God. In verse 40 of the story, Jesus said, "Why are you fearful?" Yeah. I'm in a storm. Why am I afraid? And He said, "How is it that you have no faith?" I don't want your, the lesson is, don't let your storm move you away from God. Destroy your faith or cause doubts. Remember the point number one, there's a probability of storms. Can't eliminate that. So Jesus on this occasion said, "Why are you fearful? Where's your faith, disciples? I just calmed the sea." They said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" You see, when a storm comes in our life, Jesus wants to take away our fear and establish our faith. The disciples didn't do that. After everything is calm, Jesus says, "You're still fearful? Where's your faith? Didn't you just see?" And they acknowledged it. "Who is this that just speaks and the storm calm?" And that's interesting to me in the story, that they feared exceedingly after the storm stopped. Of course, I think that fear this time is just a wow on their part. I think that my estimation, in reading the others' accounts, my estimation is they're probably thinking, "I'm in awe of what just happened." In this classroom, I think they came to a realization that Jesus is greater and Jesus is more fearsome than the storm. And that's the way we need to see God. He's bigger than our struggle and our trial. The last one, number five, the promises for the storm. Remember how the story began in chapter, in verse 35? I put that in your notes. Let's pass over to the other side. Now, that's significant. Don't just kind of gloss over that. Jesus said, let's cross to the other side. Remember how the story concludes? Chapter 5, verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea. So I put in your note, if Jesus names a destination, it's certainly the disciples are going to arrive there. And so Jesus says in John 14, beginning of verse 1, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Yeah, my hand's up. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Yeah. There's mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If Jesus names a destination, it's certain he's capable of taking the disciples there safely. What's your problem? What's your struggle? I'm staying in the boat with Jesus. I don't know what the days ahead will bring. I don't know their content. I don't know their number. I just know that in the midst of storms, I'm staying on board. So just quickly in review, God's word assures us of a safe landing. Also, God's word alerts us to expect storms. James 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into temptations. He didn't say if you fall into temptations. He said when. There's an expectation of storms in your life and mine. If the Savior suffered, why shouldn't the saved? If the Master suffered, why shouldn't the servants? You can't get out of it. Remember the story of the two builders in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24? One builds on the rock, one builds on the sand. But something happened to both builders. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And the one that was built on the solid foundation stood firm. God's word also in review announces that the Savior's on board. Matthew 28, I didn't put that with these in your notes. But Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says, after he gave the Great Commission, I'm with you always. I'm with you. Even to the end. Hebrews 13, verse 5, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never? What about when storms come? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In Psalm 46, verse 3, I put that one in your notes. God's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Why should I be afraid of a sudden storm? Don't want to be. In Psalm 56, verse 3, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56, verse 3. Isaiah 12, verse 2. I will trust and not be afraid. Not be afraid. So the opening verse in your notes, in the introduction, don't be afraid of sudden terror or sudden storm or difficulty in life. Don't use that as an occasion to move away from God. Proverbs 3, verse 25. Put that one in your notes either. No, I ran out of room on your page. Proverbs 3, verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear. That's the last one. Be not afraid of sudden fear. So that's why at the close of a lesson, let's stand together and sing a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. And we're pleading and praying. And once you've heard that good news gospel message and you believe it, you're willing to turn your life around to God's side. You're willing to confess your faith before witnesses that are gathered here, you can be baptized. Then rise to walk in newness of life. Now you're in the family of God. Forgiven of sins. Hope you have the hope of heaven within. Other blessings from that one action. And then we grow. So that's the invitation. If you're subject to it, if you haven't accomplished that, you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement.
Have a seat beside me, and at the end of the song, I'll just ask.